B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mike, he misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli. It's going to be an interesting show today, mainly because we have Joe Girardi coming on today, manager of the Phillies. We've kind of lost contact with the Phillies and where they are right now. We'll touch base with the Phillies manager and find out how he's working out through this whole mess and what he thinks about baseball and the Phillies, hopefully, if they resume a season this year. Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And this is also going to be an interesting conversation because I want to ask people. Tyrone, you came up with a really good question today. And I think we're going to be on both sides of the question. And the question is, what will we have learned when things go back to normal? When things resume? And I know, you know, we're looking down the road. We have no idea when it's going to resume. But it will. And we will get back to normal life at some point. So, will we have learned any lessons about this? In our behavior? The way we conduct life from day to day? What changes will we naturally make because we have been conditioned to make some changes? Or will things just go completely back to normal like this never happened? And my sense is that we're not going to make as many changes as we think. What we do now is reactionary to the virus that's out there. So when we go overboard to clean and sterilize and disinfect and all that stuff, it's because we are forced to do that. When we go back to normal, there's no longer a virus out there. Will we do the same thing? Is that the one thing we've learned? And what about this concept of social distancing? When we go back to normal, we're going to have parties. We're going to have people come over to the house. We're going to hang out together. We're going to go to the community pool. We're going to play pickup basketball. We're going to go back to the YMCA and all our gyms and do the side-by-side ellipticals. The stadiums are going to, we're still going to be right next to each other when we go to a game. They're not going to refigure stadiums. And I know, Ty, you're pretty idealistic about this whole thing, that we will make some changes. And I don't know if we will or not. I basically just want to ask the people whether they have learned to do things differently here when things get back to normal. You believe that we have.
Well, I hope that we have. And it doesn't always just have to just be pandemic related, although all those things, it would be nice. What, like, let's take the Wells Fargo Center, for example. Mm-hmm. And that stadium's been around for a while. Eventually, at some point, there'll be a new building. We don't know when, but eventually there'll be a new building. They've been in there 20 years, however right. long it's been.
Right.
Could you have a building with the same capacity, but people spread out a little bit more for reasons like this?
Well, how would you do that? Well, see, they're not going to refigure the seats.
In a new building, you could build it to where you had some grease, a little elbow.
All right, so the only team
seats.
That would be able to do that is the Sixers. We know that they would have been wanting their own arena for a really long time. So you're saying that in a new world, a team like the Sixers rebuild their own arena and respect social distancing, cutting their capacity, and hence cutting their revenue.
Well, I guess it cuts their capacity, but they would still have the 20,000. But because it's starting from scratch, you're spreading out the 20,000 differently.
So you're going to make the building bigger, and hence people will be further away from the action.
Yeah, but safer. Maybe not 6 feet, but a little bit further away, rather than
cans. It's a noble idea. Do you think people would be willing to accept that idea to social distance and be further away from the action while they pay their hard-earned money for a ticket?
Unfortunately, probably not.
No, that's what I'm saying. We will forget all about this, and we will go back to acting the same way. And we only act in a certain way because of a catastrophe. Once the catastrophe is lifted, and I don't know. When things are normal, does it make sense to social distance? You know, so you're anticipating more disease when you're saying. So in other words, you're living afraid at that point.
Not really. What I mean is, another example is the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of grocery stores, a lot of the big box stores right now, have sort of lanes where you go down a certain mm-hmm. way and back the other way. Keep that. Not even because I'm afraid.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, makes more sense. I hate bumping into people and the carts and this and that. Let's have things be on the other side of this more orderly, just to be more orderly.
See, here's the thing about that. We'll do that now. But we do it out of necessity. The grocery store is not like a road where cars keep going. People stop and look at shelves and things. It's one thing to have a track put out. It's another thing when you go back to normal, people got their big butts sticking out as they look for the best can of chickpeas to buy. You know what I'm saying?
And maybe we should be a little bit more patient. Okay, the person in front of you is taking, and this is me, who's generally pretty impatient.
Uh-huh.
The person in front of me is, so what?
Well, we get back to real life, and we get back to the hectic pace of life, are people going to be more patient?
Yeah, this is what I'm worried about. I remember the closest thing, because there's nothing really to compare this to, was 9/11. And I remember for a short time, people were nicer to each other mm-hmm. after 9/11. And then quickly, it became just as evil as ever. People bleep uh-huh. you, whatever.
Yeah.
I would like to, I hope that after this is a longer period. So this isn't like a week or 2 weeks and then back mm-hmm. to normal. This is longer.
Right.
That we can learn some subtle things and be better on the other side.
I think
of
your
this.
Heart's in the right place. I don't know if practically that's going to be possible, but it's a great question to ask people, because if you're perceiving when life will go back to normal, have you learned anything that would make you want to change your behavior to accommodate civility in the way we do now? Now, the only thing I can see changing, and I think a lesson has been put forth and a principle has been put forth here, that it is not necessary for 50% of the population to go into an office. I think that's the one thing we've learned. And thereby, that will lessen traffic. I don't know what it'll do to as far as making the office now more generic, because you don't have to provide cubicles and fancy carpet and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how that would go, but I think that one thing that's going to come out of this is we've managed to work at home. Well, we haven't, but a lot of people have, like Nat. Right, Nat, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. So we put the principle out there that when we have another thing like this, we could possibly do this show from home.
Yeah. I don't want to. Well, I want to come back.
I hear that, Nat, but uh-huh. that's a good point, because my wife, for example, she's home. She's got multiple monitors at home. Our internet's good. Mm-hmm. She's had no trouble. In the future, you would and it does cost rent, square footage, and all that kind of stuff. I would imagine that there will be some changes made where, do you need a huge office with everybody working together? Uh-huh. And is that good or bad afterwards? Like, is the community effect good or them being home bad? I don't know.
And you know what? There are bosses out there that are listening. If you're in charge of an office, has it changed your mindset on what you're going to now require from your employees? So we'll kick all of that stuff around. And also, there's an interesting topic out there about Elton Brand being pursued by the Knicks, or being wanted by the Knicks. Leon Rose, who's the president of the Knicks now, is an agent. He was Elton Brand's agent, and he's got a really good relationship with Elton Brand, and that might make a nice synergy if you're trying to rebuild the Knicks. And I don't know, maybe Elton Brand will want to go to New York. Who knows? Well, what side of the fence are you on? Because I got to be honest with you. I don't think that the majority of people here would care that much if Elton was still here. It's not like Elton has knocked the doors down here. I mean, I think he's an okay general manager. He hasn't gone into the realm of, oh, my God, he's an exceptional general manager and we can't lose him. So I'm curious to know how people will feel about that.
Yeah.
All right. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Last night I was watching the 2007 final game of the season on NBC Sports Philly.
Yeah.
I was glued to it, actually.
It was fun to watch.
Yes, it was. It was the Phillies and the Washington Nationals when they weren't that good. But I was watching in the final out and the people that came out on the field to celebrate. And I found myself saying, look, you got a lot of nerve climbing in that pile. Who are the two guys that that stuck out for me? Just get in my head. I looked at them both. I'm like, where do you get the nerve to jump in that pile? Anyway, it was fun to watch. 610-632-0975. McManus, Timmy McManus, 3:30. Joe Girardi at 4 o'clock. So don't miss it on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hold on one second. My headphone kind of broke off. So easy fix to this.
Yeah,
if you watch on TV, this is great TV. Who's producing today? Is it Sean? Sean producing today?
No, it's Booney.
It's Booney?
Yeah.
I saw Sean put out a tweet. So Booney's still producing today.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. Damn, very easily fixable.
Snap them back.
Yes. 610-622-0975. So I'm watching a game last night. And, you know, it's funny because this didn't happen that long ago. 13 years ago, right? And it's amazing the things that you miss or you forget about. Like Nunez playing third base.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I forgot about him.
Nunez
yes.
playing third base in that game. I tuned into the game. Chris Coast is catching. And yeah. Chuch got hurt in the game. I kind of had forgotten about that. And then Michael Bourne was a defensive replacement.
Yeah, he ended up
for Pat Burrell.
Yeah, because he ended up getting traded in that offseason to get Lidge, and then they won.
Yes.
Lidge had to, yeah.
And I had forgotten how deadly effective J.C. Romero was.
I was getting ready to say
as
that.
As a relief pitcher.
He was lights out.
I mean, he was unhittable. And he had that changeup going and slider. And then, like, we may have found out, like, a couple of years later, he got popped, right?
Yeah, he got popped.
So there may have been a reason for that, but he was unhittable in that role.
Swaggering around. Like, he was swaggering around out there. I was like, look at all this.
All right, so I'm watching the game, the final. And Brett Myers comes in that game. He was sharp. Just, like, he put everything where he wanted it. It's amazing. At the end of the season, those guys were just so gacked up to win. And then Ryan Howard.
That home run.
How we take him for granted. Like, he had 140 RBIs that year, right? Yeah. I mean, he just took it for granted.
He hit home run number 47 in that game, and it was a no-doubter.
Yeah.
Not a cheapie at all.
And late in the game, he needs a triple to go with the 2020-2020 club.
Gets it.
Boom, he gets the triple.
Busting it around.
It was so exciting. The game was exciting. I had forgotten about how exciting it is. But they win the game, final out's a strikeout. And or was it a strikeout? Yeah, I think it was. And here comes everybody. And I remember the disappointing dudes that year. And I'm looking at a couple guys hopping to the pile. And I'm going, you killed that team. You all year, you killed that squad. You have the nerve to get involved in the teeth of that, the eye of that celebration. One was a starting pitcher.
I don't remember.
Adam Eaton.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Eaton climbs like right in there. He was a first row celebrator. That's a violation.
That is.
That's a fifth. He's a fifth row at best celebrator. And then Wes Helms.
Oh, he was first
row. Wes Helms gets his face right in there. That's Holmes, come on. You got to know your place here.
Know your role.
I mean, yeah, know your role. Listen, you got one as a team. I get it. But come on, man. You're fifth row.
Right. You get the last of the champagne.
All right, the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by, it's always brought to us by our pals at, Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Twitter poll, let's start it. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower, zero turner, any of your small engine tools up and running again. Time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. I know Natalie watched that game as a 9-year-old girl in the Northeast.
I wasn't nine. I was in college then. Those were glory days.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Glory days.
How you doing, Nat? How are things working out in the neighborhood?
Oh, you know, everything's all right. Just hanging in the house like everybody else.
Yep.
Over 400 votes on today's poll. Should the Sixers let Elton Brand go to the Knicks if he wants to? 73% say yes. 28% say no. So people are
28% say no?
Yeah.
So the majority doesn't care.
Exactly.
Listen, I don't love Elton Brand. He hasn't had enough time for me to say he's a bad general manager or a good general manager. And he started out looking like he was making some decent moves. But the fact of the matter is, you're judged by the evaluation of the moves you make. And his big evaluation was the Al Horford thing. And that fell flat. And now you're looking at a team. I lauded a guy at the trading deadline. He got a couple guys in. He at least tried to get a couple guys in to fortify the shooting. But that only amplified what they didn't have at the start. And then it was too late to catch up. And we found out soon those guys weren't going to be enough anyway. So I don't know. To me, he's a flat line judge right now.
Yeah, I thought he was being innovative with the bully ball and things like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And I think it's just too soon. I do.
Yeah, listen, I think that he did the very best he could do. Unfortunately, the results speak.
Right.
Right? Like at the time, I'm going, okay, he had the Jimmy Butler problem, and Jimmy kind of didn't want to play here. And then he had to overpay Tobias Harris because he couldn't lose both of them. So he was in a tough spot. And then he reached out for what he thought would work. And I think we all thought it was an okay thing and it was going to work. But in the end, it didn't. So, you know, you can't laud the guy for making those moves when it didn't work out.
You're right. And then the time where it could have, I'm saying hypothetically, maybe they get into the playoffs and the people thinking that they were built for the playoffs, maybe it works out. He doesn't get the playoffs.
Yes.
So it adds to the incomplete.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gene in Doylestown. Gene, we had your call yesterday. We couldn't get you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
What's up there?
I'm one of the fortunate ones that's still working.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, my boss rang, bro. I had to take it.
Okay, all right. Chose your boss over us? That's a violation. Yeah, you're still going to have your job.
That's a violation. If
you don't answer that call, you're still going to have your job.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. But anyway, I wanted to call yesterday because I had a feeling on the Joel Embiid thing, and that was that, you know, they're saying, can you bring him back? And this, but my feeling was, why would he have to do something like that? The Sixers management shouldn't have had to have been prodded into that. You know what I mean?
Well, no, you're right about that. He's not wrong. However, like, I'm thinking that if you really are close with your owners and they announce that, you make a phone call and go, hey, that's totally inappropriate. But what he did was he just came out and boom, he put $500,000 on the table.
And somebody said to me, and I don't know how right or wrong it is, but they said the owners didn't make that decision. That came from the financial people, the guys. I'm sure they went to the owners and said, look, here's what we propose. But again, they should have shut it down, is my opinion. They should have said, no, we're not doing that. Not now, not in this time. But I thought what Joel Embiid did was a really good gesture. And granted, it had some ill side effects, maybe, but I thought it was a nice gesture on his behalf that shouldn't have ever had to have been done.
No, you're right. You can look at it two ways. He definitely made them look bad by doing that. Now, maybe it was intentional. But see, if he was that angry to do it intentionally, then you make a phone call, you tell them it's wrong, they take it away, and then you do the half mil. You know, that's all I'm saying.
I just hope we can all get along in the sandbox and they move along without.
Oh, they will. This will blow over. This is not. Listen, they're not gonna not have him on the squad because he did that.
They're not
dumb enough to cut off their nose despite their face.
In that case, I'm packing Elton's bags. He can go.
So you don't want him. You wouldn't shed a tear if he goes to the Knicks.
No, not really. I mean, I don't hate the guy. Like you said, there's not much there that would make me say, no, don't let him go. Don't let him go. But on another note, you guys were also talking about numbers yesterday. And I just wanted to call in and ask you, do you know who the last Phillies player was to wear the number one before it was retired?
Rich Jasper.
No.
What? Who? Somebody wore
one? Jose Cardenal.
Jose Cardenal wore number one?
Yes, he did.
After Richie Ashburn?
Yes.
I'll have to check on that.
Go ahead.
I don't know if that's right. I don't think they would have given out number one to Jose Cardenal. I mean, I remember when did he play for the Phillies? In the 70s? I remember him. He was a journeyman outfielder. Let's see.
1978? It looks like he played 78.
He had a big fro.
Yeah, 78 and 79. I'll check the number, but yeah, it was 78 and part of 79.
He was a Cub primarily, I think.
Yeah, a long time, but he was also a San Francisco Giant for a lot of years. It looks like some years. He bounced around.
Yeah, California Angels. I had an old baseball card, a Jose card now. No, I don't know. Do they have his numbers listed?
No, I'll find it.
2 years in the Phillies.
Yeah, 1.5. It says that he was a career 275 hitter.
Yeah, he was a hitter early in his career. I don't think he hit here with the Phillies. All right, let's go Jim in Swarthmore. Jim, you're on 97.5.
Hey, Mike,
Jim,
how you doing?
How you doing, Jim?
I got a question before I give you my comment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Bill Maher fan?
Not really. I think he's snarky.
Yeah, I asked that. He had like an editorial diatribe on the cruise industry. Uh-huh. That part was pretty amazing. I didn't realize, among other things, they dump 150,000 gallons of waste every day in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's got some, he's got the liberal view, and he's an anti-Trump guy, and, you know, I appreciate that part of him, but he's snarky.
Well, let me give you my points about this, what's going to happen on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you one thing that I own medical companies, so I'm coming from that place.
Mm-hmm.
One benefit that's definitely going to come, and that is the acceptability of telemedicine. Mm-hmm. And that's going to have an impact. If you stop and think, how many doctor's visits, you wait an hour, you're in with other people that are sick, and really, how many times is there really necessary for physical contact? That to me is going to be one major benefit that people, that's going to be an acceptable.
Will people stop shaking hands altogether?
No, I'm just talking about practical.
No, maybe they do. See, that might be one of the changes that we've learned, that the transmission of germs and the hands are dirty all the time. We never really have thought about that until this came.
No, never had to. Let me give you another benefit that I see.
Mm-hmm.
Nursing homes, and one of the big problems, and you probably have had people in a nursing home, I certainly have, and it's always been amazing to me how few visitors a lot of those people get. And the people that, you know, families and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I see that one of the big advantages now is, you know, the old expression, necessity is a mother invention. Now they're educating the residents of nursing homes on Skype and things like that. I think you're going to see a lot more interaction.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think the Skype Zoom thing has really taught us a new way of life.
I mean, before they said, well, they're too old, and he doesn't understand, he's not into computers. Well, all of a sudden now, it opens up a different door. It's a different incentive.
Yeah.
And the last thing I will say, and this is just a general statement, I think the world of politics as we've known it is over. Is over. I think you're going to see a whole different paradigm, if you want to use that term.
That's not in, true!
In politics. You're going to, well, they're going to be looking for
how so?
Different qualities in people you elect.
Really?
Different. Oh, yeah.
Like anti this guy?
No, no. No. people that care. When you see
so in other words, anti this guy.
Yeah, I mean, Cuomo has really...
Cuomo might be the next president. He really might. I mean, he's on a track to be it.
Well, he's not running.
I would think. No, he's not, but he will eventually run.
Well, he claimed with his brother that he'll never run.
Oh, really? He said he'll never run?
Yeah.
He will be coerced into running by the Democratic Party.
Well, also, Joe Biden claimed... Because Joe Biden claims if he was to win, he'd be a one-term president due to his age. Uh-huh. And if Trump is reelected, he could only have one more term.
Right.
That would line up pretty well. I can tell you one person who is not going to ever be president. That's stupid. And I feel very comfortable calling him stupid, governor of Georgia. Who found out yesterday. The CDC, by the way, is in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He found out yesterday that asymptomatic people could spread it.
Yeah.
He didn't know that till yet. Yeah. How is that possible? And how do you say that out loud as a grown adult, let alone a governor? Forget about, I don't care what party you are. I don't care about any of that. It's right now. It's about either you're a leader or you're not. And if you're an idiot, you can't lead. Well, he should resign. I lived down there, he would have to resign.
Idiots get elected.
I get it, but he can't. He can't
see through idiots.
I said, are people just actively choosing to not listen to the information?
Because
it has to be. How do you say how do you say, as the governor of a state, that you just found out yesterday that you were made aware that asymptomatic people can transmit this?
He's caught up in being a governor.
And then think how many weeks they're now behind. The state of Georgia is. Florida, like the states, like New Jersey, Pennsylvania, we're, I guess, quote-unquote, lucky ones in that. We've started this already. And if social distancing works, we'll be ahead of them. But they're not going to reopen stuff till everybody's kind of in the clear, and they basically set the nation back a couple weeks because his full behind didn't know that. like I don't care what party you are, that's just stupid. You're hurting us by being that stupid.
No, you're absolutely right. 610-622-0975. It's funny. So he just brought up. Did he just bring up our last caller, comedians? Somehow
he brought up Bill Maher.
Bill Maher, yeah. Bill Maher, who I don't find funny. He's too snarky to be funny.
Yeah, I don't think he's funny.
Right, so there's something like, because I don't think Robin Williams is funny.
Me either.
What?
I don't think Robin Williams is funny. I think that for a reason I don't like Bill Maher because he's snarky, even though his material may be intelligent and sometimes poignant. The snarkiness takes that away. Robin Williams, whose brand of comedy is like insanity that a lot of people like, he never shows a normal side. So like his whole thing is insanity. So he almost looks like an insane guy. So I can't take his comedy separate from the insanity. Like I need a separation.
I couldn't. And it's sad that he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And he's no longer with us. But yeah, I never found it funny.
And that's interesting because I was going to talk about that today. Because I heard him. I listen to these comedy channels on XM now.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes, and he comes in, like they do these routines on everybody, and I don't find him funny at all. Now you were shocked.
What about Robin Williams?
You think Robin Williams is hysterical?
Yeah, I find him to be absolutely hysterical. I love most of the characters that he plays. I think he's so talented.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I think he's a good actor. I don't think in a stand-up role he's that funny. I think he's actually a better actor than he is a comedian.
He's a great comedic actor, in my
opinion. But he's also a great serious actor.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think his brand of comedy, I don't know if it's meant necessarily to withstand, like, stand-up.
I don't think he's a funny comedic actor either.
I don't either. I thought he was great in Aladdin.
He's just too over the top for me to see the humor.
Mrs. Doubtfire, I thought he was good in that, but he was playing a woman in that, like that was dressed up to see his kids.
Like Mork is not funny to me.
I didn't find
Mork is just
funny.
Insane.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to.
Insanity's not funny.
I think he's so goofy that it's funny to me.
Yeah, see, goofy isn't funny to me.
Right.
But like, you know, it's funny because there are a lot of people that like world famous comedians that I don't find funny at all.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Like, if you go down a list, you who's the funniest people that you could list? Like, Eddie Murphy in stand-up is just brilliant.
Yep.
He sets a standard. Richard Pryor sets a standard.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris Rock is really funny. Chappelle's obviously funny.
Yep.
Now, George Carlin, I didn't find funny at all.
I did find Carlin
funny. You did
funny.
Find Carlin funny?
Yes.
I didn't find him funny at all. Jerry Seinfeld, is he funny?
I never found his stand-up funny.
Yeah, it's not that funny.
I never found it funny.
Louis C.K.
When he wasn't doing weird things, I thought he had moments.
All right, Steve Martin.
Yes, I thought he was funny.
You thought he was funny?
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, I did think he was funny.
Okay. Jim Carrey.
Stand up, no. I didn't find it funny.
All right, as a comedic actor, you find him funny?
Yeah, he's had good.
All right, how about that deadpan guy? That old deadpan guy had one line after another. Stephen Wright.
Oh, remember
that dude? Stephen Wright. You find him funny?
Not really.
No?
Not really.
How about Red Fox?
Yes, I found him funny.
You found him funny. Yes. How about Bill Burr?
Yes, I think Bill Burr's hilarious.
Bill Burr's funny?
Yes, he's hilarious.
Okay, how about Sarah Silverman?
I actually have found her funny because she also can sing. And she does, in her stand-up, she does the funny songs and stuff. Yeah, I think she's
funny. I don't think she's funny at all. Yeah,
see, now, she's an acquired taste for me. I find some of her stuff to be really funny, but then I don't find her to be funny at all.
I agree.
Yeah.
Roseanne.
Never thought she was funny.
Never thought she was funny in any way.
Her on the show, her stand-up, her existence.
She's obnoxious.
She doesn't make any sense to me. Never did. If I could wave a magic wand, she would have never been famous.
Adam Sandler.
Yes, he's funny.
Yeah, I find him funny, too.
You know, he's funny.
And he is a silly ass. But I find him funny different than the Robin Williams silly ass funny.
Well, he has some range in that he... Robin Williams was either zero when he was being serious or at 100 miles per hour. Yeah. Adam Sandler has 20 miles per hour and 40 miles and 50 miles per hour. He doesn't just go to...
Right.
Full blast all the time. That's what you need.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to throw comedians at you during the course of the show.
All right,
610-632-0975. Jose Cardenal did wear number one. How could they give him number one?
Well, a few people. So Richie Ashburn gets finished in 1959. Bobby Wine wore it. Joe Morgan. And now, three different guys wore it in 1960, it looks like. Bobby Wine, Joe Morgan, Al Dark, and then Cardenal, 78 and 79.
Come on, man, that was the last time. Phillies. That's like the Eagles giving that 36.
Yeah, Booney ran and looked it up. The all-time roster.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he got to at least make the guy a superstar.
You can't give anybody 20, can you?
No. It wasn't that Joe Morgan. It was 1960 Joe Morgan. Whoever that was.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not Hall of Famer Joe Morgan. It was just some guy named Joe Morgan.
And right after Ashburn?
Yeah.
Ashburn left and they gave one out to somebody else?
It looks like in 1960 they gave it to three different guys. I guess they got traded or released or whatever.
Come on, Bobby Wine.
I don't know who that is.
That franchise was messed up.
That Joe Morgan and Al Dunk.
Who?
Those three in 1960 at some point all wore it. Then they put it on ice for 18 years. And then all of a sudden, Jose Cardenal gets it for a year and a half. And then they finally stopped. 79 was the last time anybody wore it. But they let four different guys, three in right after he left. Were they angry at him? I mean, he retired, didn't he?
No, he got traded to the Cubs.
Oh, well, if you trade him, you can't be mad at him.
They picked him up in the expansion draft. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. He went to the Mets, I'm sorry. And then the Cubs and then Mets. Yeah, they may have traded him to the Cubs, and then the Mets picked him up in the expansion draft when he was like a really old player.
No.
All right, 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Misnelli's show, you know, as fate would have it, The Athletic did an all-time Phillies number, best players by jersey number in Phillies history, which I have right in front of me here. Zero was worn by Al Oliver here as a Philly, but only because his name was Oliver.
Okay.
It was his in the initial on his last name. That's why he wore O. So he gets a pass for that.
I can see that.
It's like that old center for the Oakland Raiders. He wore double zero.
Okay.
But his last name was Otto.
Joe Otto, so he's playing.
Yeah, Joe Otto was the hockey player. This was Jim Otto.
Jim Otto?
The center.
Oh.
So he wore double O because he had two O's in his last name. Richie Ashburn, number one. Granny Hamner wore two.
I don't know who that is.
That's an old-time Philly shortstop on the Whiz Kids in 1950.
Oh, okay.
Rico Bronya wore two. Remember Rico?
I remember Rico Bronya.
Uh-huh. Chuck Klein was the best three.
That's not too bad.
How about it? He's got comp now. He's got comp now with that number.
Well, of course. See, uh-huh. And probably another what? How many? What is
10
it?
10 years. It's 10 years. Is it Chuck Klein or Bryce Harper that gets that nod?
It'll be Harper. Because he'll hit 380 home runs.
Uh-huh. Who was the guy that wore three before Bryce Harper who played the same position?
Was that a Braves number?
Nope.
I don't know.
That would be that Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence wore three?
That's correct. Number four.
I don't know any numbers.
Well, man.
I don't know any number. Baseball, I know zero numbers.
Nails wore four.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Yes. Five. You saw him last night.
I don't know any numbers.
He played left field last night.
You saw Burrell?
Burrell.
I don't know any numbers in baseball.
Come on, man. You know.
The names are on there. I don't need the numbers.
Number six.
And they have the positions
you
already in the number.
Love this guy, number six.
I don't know that.
Ryan Howard. That's a violation on you, man.
I don't know any
wait
numbers.
Wait a minute. You're always talking about how underappreciated he is. You got to know the man's number.
No, I don't. He played first base. And it doesn't.
Come on,
and I can
dude.
See his face. Numbers aren't hard to tell.
Your favorite players in Philly pinstripes, you have to know their numbers.
Nah. I don't need their numbers.
Number seven, Michael Franco.
He's the best.
Over Pedro Feliz.
Oh, yeah, he's better than Pedro. But that's a number that's available and right for somebody to pass.
Number eight. Saw him last night. Center fielder.
Oh, you're talking about who's the center fielder?
Shane Victorino.
Well, wasn't what you call it still on that team? Playing who? Center field?
Who?
The guy.
Aaron Rowan was.
Yeah.
Victorino platooned with Jason Wirth.
Yeah.
That's right. And in 07.
And Charlie recognized how he liked Shane, and that was part of the reason why he okayed
Right. Victorino was in that game last night. Threw me off. That's right. Aaron Rowan
was still there.
Was the center fielder.
And everybody was still a hero because he ran into a wall.
Number nine, one of my favorite Phillies of all time. I used to imitate him. Manny Trio.
That's number nine.
Going on the Wall of Fame. Number 10, of course. Our good friend Larry Bowa.
He wore 10?
Yes.
Wow, I never saw that.
Number 11 played last night.
I don't know.
Number 11 got the triple.
Jimmy Rollins?
Oh, that's a total violation.
I don't know any baseball numbers for any player.
Natalie, help me out here.
I don't know any numbers.
Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you should know them. But I don't know. Baseball's different.
I don't know any baseball numbers.
Baseball's easier than basketball.
I don't know a single player in baseball history's number.
You know 42.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, Jackie Robinson, but other than that.
You know 24.
No.
That's Willie Mays.
I know no numbers.
You know three. That's Babe Ruth.
No numbers in baseball. I know no. I don't need them. In football, is the only sport where I need numbers.
I don't need them.
I don't only need them in football. In football, I need them. Like, who made that tackle number what? That yeah, I need.
There wasn't always names on the back, yo.
Right, when I'm watching the team every day, I look at first base. I know who's playing first base. I know who picked it. I can see his face. Football's the only sport that I know numbers because that's the only one that I need the numbers when I'm watching.
Okay.
I go, oh, there's AI.
Oh, that's fair.
Oh, there's that's fair. There's Howard.
All right. Let's go to Alan in Warrington. Alan, you're on 97.5 The Field. What's up, Alan?
I'd like to thank the three of you for making our days grow easier.
Well, thank you, Greg, for listening and calling. Or Alan, sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just mentioning about Elton Brand, if I had my way, and I could be wrong, of the four main general managers in the city, the only one I would keep at this point is Fletcher, the Flyers.
You can make a good case for that. The other three guys are not exactly swimming in popularity right now.
Howie should stick to contracts and not.
Well, let's see. You got a draft coming up. You might be changing your tune.
Well, we'll see. One other point.
Yes.
I just caught the last minute. You were talking about Ed Fehner yesterday.
Yes.
I actually saw the guy pitch, but there was another team at the time. I don't know if you remember, a team called Flatiron AC.
That's what I was talking about yesterday. That's a team.
I missed that part.
I couldn't remember the name. There used to be newspaper sports section stories on that team all the time, and they had some legendary pitcher, right?
Yeah, Flatiron AC, Ty Stofflett, who was a South.
No, that wasn't the guy. No, it was another guy. There was another guy. That guy definitely wasn't the name of the guy. But it was Flatiron was the team. They used to have stories on this team all the time.
Oh, yeah, they were unbelievable. They rarely lost.
That wasn't the guy, though. This guy was more famous than that guy you just put out there.
Well, Fehner was, of course, well-known.
Yeah, no, the guy that had pitched for that Flatiron team. He was always a headline.
Hmm.
So-and-so pitches no-hitter. I remember like it was yesterday because my little kid brain, I used to devour newspapers.
Yep. Well, it was good talking to you.
All right, man. You got it, buddy. In fact, I think somebody tweeted me the name or emailed me the name, and I lost it. Oh. Yeah, it was this famous guy. I swear to God, there was a story on him every day in a newspaper. It was usually in the back of the sports section, but there still was like headlines all the time. That's how I knew it.
That's really?
Yes. Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Greg? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm trying to keep my head down up here in Monroe County while the COVID's flying around. But sounds like you don't like slapstick comedy, you know, stuff like the Three Stooges.
Oh, no, I love the Three Stooges.
Really? Because that's one of my favorites.
Three Stooges are funny. Well, who's slapstick that I didn't like?
Well, I thought that what you didn't like about Robin Williams was just that it was kind of slapstick goofy.
No, it wasn't slapstick. It was just stream of consciousness craziness. And I never saw him as a normal human being. Like, he was in character all the time. And I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sort of like a water spider.
I didn't look at him as I looked at him as just, it was a product of insanity, his comedy.
Okay. I'll buy that. As far as how we're going to change what we might do, if we're going to change anything, I mean, personally, I think I'm going to not be looking for things to buy that say made in China. I don't know. That's just a personal.
Well, I mean, that's up to you. Now, it seems to be clearing up in China, so.
Yeah, I think they're making some progress, if you can believe
I think they're making more progress than we are.
Well, if you can believe their numbers.
Yeah,
you know,
true. You never know.
You know, you can't. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, if it turns out, and when the dust settles, that China kind of covered this up for a little while, do you think the NBA should think about going back with them?
Going back with what? In what way? Like,
well,
having exhibitions and stuff like that?
Silver, yeah. Well, Silver has a...
Well, that took a lot of business away from the NBA. So, at the end of the day, they're probably going to have a short memory when it comes to the business. All right, 3 o'clock hours ahead. Big 3 o'clock hour. And 3 o'clock hour, Tim McManus. And at 4 o'clock, Phillies manager, Joe Girardi. What's up with Joe? We'll find out. Mike Misnelli Show continues.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.